Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Blind Spot. I'm your host, Jason Pulaski, and welcome to the show. This is the third episode. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here because I've wanted a podcast for a while, and, I just couldn't stop getting in my own way, and I didn't have one. It's easy to have a podcast. It just costs me a couple bucks a month and a microphone, and I could have just done it on a phone. So now that I finally have a podcast, whenever I start to record one, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty pleased I'm doing it, and I kind of think like that it's a, I hate to use the word privilege, but it's early in the morning and I can't think of another one quick enough, so I think of it as a privilege to, get to talk to everybody who's listening. I think about how like 20 years ago it was technically impossible to do, and like, I don't know, I'm just glad I'm in a position to be able to do it and that I've done it, because I was in a position to do it a year ago and wasn't. So with that being said, I have a couple of things I'd like to talk about for a change, as opposed to just stumbling into talking about things. So the first thing I want to talk about is this idea that cliches are dumb when you just look at them quickly, and really useful when you live by them. So this isn't a perfect example, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's like, that's stupid unless you use it to do like 9,000 wind sprints because you want to be fast, or 20,000 push-ups because you want a strong chest and core, or sit-ups because you want strong abs. Revenge is a dish best served cold is sort of like, a shallow little thing unless you live by it. And then it might be useful because it reminds you that you can wait 20 years to screw a guy who screwed you. Neither of those is exactly the cliche I wanted to use, because I think there are more useful ones. Like a 12-step program, for example. Like, the things in a 12-step program can seem platitudinous unless you really want to apply them, and then they can be very useful. That's kind of what I mean. There's a bunch of cliches and sort of like, for anyone who doesn't know, a cliche is like, I don't even know. These things are usually short aspirational quotes that indicate something or state something. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger means, like, if it's not killing you and you get through it, you're stronger for the experience. So work out really hard, because that pain isn't going to kill you. No pain, no gain. That's a cliche. And it's like, technically probably not true, but, it gets at a truth. And like, certain cliches are kind of, certain cliches and sayings and maxims, or even attitudes are sort of designed for self-help or designed for self-improvement. And it's like, if you engage with them superficially or not at all, just read them, it's easy to be like, that's a stupid thing. But if you really engage with them and use them, they're very useful, I think. This is called magical thinking, as in, like, Jim Carrey wrote himself a $1 million check and put it on his wall and would, like, look at it every day, because he was like, I'm going to make $1 million. And he did. Now, I don't think it's because he wrote the check, but that can't hurt. I don't think that hurts. When I was younger, I used to think magical thinking was just about the stupidest thing in the entire world. I used to think that, like, it made no difference and you were deluding yourself, and, like, all that magical thinking did was confuse you, and, like, it was just stupid shit for stupid people. And I kind of think that still, a little bit. Like, there's still a part of me that says, like, overly positive mindsets are wrong because they just, they dilute the realistic look that you have on the world. So if I said to myself, like, hey, this podcast is going to be the next Joe Rogan Experience, and I just kept saying that, I'm just setting myself up for a disappointment, because it won't be. I mean, it probably won't be. The odds are so low that that's going to happen. But on the other hand, like, telling yourself things can help and might not hurt you. So I kind of think, like, if you say, I'm going to have a really successful podcast or a really successful football career, it's like, well, telling yourself that is going to make it more likely that happens if you really believe it and act upon it. And so you might as well. Like, if you are working out because you want to become a very attractive person, being like, I'm going to be the hottest motherfucker walking next year, is not a waste of your time, because it's both motivational and, like, keeps you oriented towards your goals. And so, like, you know, it's better than being like, I'm still going to be a fat piece of shit next year, because, like, that negative thinking pulls you towards, like, not working out. You'll be like, ah, screw it. Why bother? I'm going to be fat next year too. So I'm going to eat these chips and sit on my ass. And, you know, so I think using these self-help things can be useful when you have goals. I bring this up for a couple of reasons. I don't know how it happened. So first of all, maybe I do. So I grew up in the era of get rich or die trying. Sometimes I hate myself for fucking shit up. I grew up in the era of Get Rich or Die Trying, the 50 Cent album. It's a classic rap album. I think it's really good. And, like, I've always liked 50. I liked The Massacre, too. That's his second album. He did a lot of good mixtape work. Power of the Dollar, which is the album. Motherfucker. I thought I turned this off. Sorry about that. Oh, my God, I hate myself. I don't hate myself. I'm just annoyed. I thought I turned this off. So what you just heard is my phone. I'm blind. It's telling me I have a software update. Fuck that. Anyway, Power of the Dollar was 50 Cent's album that he came out with on Columbia Records before he got shot and they dropped him. That's good, too. And then, like, you know, 50 wasn't just a good rapper, though. I like him because, like, lots of people are good rappers and make rap money. But 50 took that rap money and invested it into business and made a shitload more money. And, like, you know, he made good deals. Like, he bought Vitamin Water, or he got a stake in Vitamin Water, and, like, Coke bought Vitamin Water, so he owned Coke. And, like, you know, good times. Like, I don't mean the whole company, I just mean his stake became a Coke stake. You know, that's smart. Like, he did a bunch of other smart shit. Like, he's always thought about things in a pretty smart way. I think I like the way he thinks, where, like, he's always looking for new information from different sources. So a couple years ago, I never really followed his non-rap career. Like, I didn't, like, listen to him speak or anything like that. But a couple years ago, I stumbled upon a 50 interview, and I was like, hey, man, this is a pretty smart dude. Like, this interview is smart. He's saying a bunch of smart shit here. And, like, I've always thought that his interviews were smart since then. I don't check out every one or anything, but every once in a while I'll go, you know, watch a 50 interview and be like, hey, cool, you know. And it's not any specific insight that I can remember. It's a general mindset that I like. And so I read a lot. I read a lot. It's one of the virtues of, or benefits, not virtues. It's one of the benefits of chronic unemployment is you have time to read a lot if you read. I suppose it's, like, one of the benefits of being in jail, too, if you want to fucking get the best you can out of a bad situation. But anyway, so last week I read From Pieces to Weight, which is 50's memoir, almost certainly ghostwritten. I just didn't check that front page where they mention it, but, like, I wouldn't be surprised, and I think he said it was. And I think there's another dude's name on the author sheet. Anyway, but I don't care. Because it's 50, still a wicked smart guy. I know that he vetted the drafts, and it's still, like, his story. And it's a very interesting story about his growing up in New York and dealing drugs. And then, like, a little bit of his rap career, although clearly he's not as invested in talking about that part. Because most of the memoir is about the crack and the drugs and the whatever. But the point is, like, I admire 50's whole career trajectory. Like, after his third album didn't sell well, he went into TV and made a bunch more money. And it's not, like, just the money I admire. It's that making TV shows is cool, and then paying you boku bucks for making them is also cool. It's like if you can do what you love and get $1 billion at the same time, good times. It's like I admire that guy who made Amazon, the company, both for making a gigantic company that like now is huge and for making a shitload of money while doing it. I admire both things at the same time. So never think it's just about the money. It's just that, you know, money doesn't hurt. So anyway, I admire 50 Cent, which sounds kind of funny. I don't like, I'm not on his dick or anything, but like if I ever met him and I spoke to him and I was complimenting him, I would just tell him he came out with two classic albums, a bunch of great mixtapes, I guess three classic albums if you count Power of the Dollar. And like, you know, I just dig his drive and dig his, like, you know, the shit he's doing. You know, and I think like when you find people who you admire, like whether if they're alive today or whether they're like dead people. Like I also admire Teddy Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln, and like they aren't not just presidents. I admire Martin Luther King, a bunch of other people. Anyway, the point is like when you find people you admire, I think it makes sense to like sniff around them and see how they did what they did and kind of like what their mindset was and like, you know, if they have books, you can read them. If they wrote things, you read those. Like, you know, you like view how they got down, like how they acted well in life. I mean, like, okay, like, just as an example, like, Niccolo Machiavelli, like, interesting guy. So if you like that guy, it's worth, like, going through his biography and seeing how he dealt with adversity or success or, like, the specific circumstances he was under. You know, like, Elizabeth I in England, like, ruled an interesting country at an interesting time, faced a lot of challenges, la la la. I admire her a lot, too. So it's like, okay, like, it's not like those lessons from history are directly actionable to now. They aren't, most of them. Unless you find yourself somehow like stuck in her body in a time travel situation, then they definitely are. But if that doesn't happen, they aren't. But the point is, you can definitely learn general things about power and like how to play both strong and weak hands and like a bunch of different shit, you know, from her life. So I believe it's useful both to study history for the people and the events, but also like in a general way, in a similar way, to like study now for the people in the events too. And so like, I just did want to give 50 Cent a shout out. Like if you read books, maybe pick up one of his books, knowing that they're ghost written, comma. But if you don't read books, you know, probably check out like some interviews of his on YouTube or whatever, because they're interesting. He says interesting shit, and, like, it's not mindless braggadocio. It's usually, like, either, like, interesting, like, perspective or, like, actionable stuff or, like, just an interesting cat. And he also has a swagger to him I like. I mean, I'm not trying to emulate that exactly, but, like, it is fun to watch. He's definitely, like, a guy who trolls and beefs and, like, you know, fucking, he's sort of a loudmouth, like, I liked when he was making fun of Floyd Mayweather and telling him that he couldn't read. I don't know if Floyd Mayweather, who is a boxer, by the way, in case you didn't know, can or can't read, but it's funny as hell to me. He was telling him, like, you know, if you can read, like, one page of a Harry Potter book, I'll donate $1 million to charity. That shit cracks me up. I like that. Like, this is what I'm saying, is I like the way that guy thinks, because, like, when he decides to publicly beef with somebody, it's strategic, usually. It's like, there's a reason. So it's like, you're both making fun of somebody in public and giving them shit, but there's also a reason for it, so, like, I figure, good times. But anyway, he's worth checking out, which brings me to my next point, which is that, you know, there's a difference between being interested in public figures or historical figures and in following them. So, like, I like a lot of public figures. I mean, there are rappers I like for their rap, like 50 or Eminem or Jay-Z or whatever, and like for their success too. Like, specifically with 50, I like what he did with his money once he got it. I mean, it was just a smart approach, and I dig that. But, like, if 50 came out on Twitter and said, "I hate the Jews," there's no way I would be like, "Hey, maybe there's something to this. I do like the guy after all." And that's where you got to be pretty careful. It's like, you know, I like Joe Biden as the president, but when Joe Biden does stuff I disagree with, or like has an opinion I don't agree with, or like comes out with an opinion I don't agree with, I'm not going to change my mind just because I think Joe Biden is generally a pretty good president, which I do. But like, you know, certain things Joe Biden's done with immigration bother me. I think they were the wrong calls. And, like, I'm not changing my mind just because I like what he did on, say, his infrastructure bill or his Inflation Reduction Act. You know, I like both those things, but I don't like the immigration stuff. And so, like, you know, that's how I look at it. It's like I support Joe Biden because he agrees with me. Not because I agree with him, if that makes any sense. And I think you got to be like that when you're, like, looking at public figures. And this actually, you know, brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk about, which was Elon Musk. So, like, Elon Musk is an interesting dude. I mean, I don't know how anyone couldn't know, but just in case you don't, Elon is the guy who owns Tesla, which is the electric car company. He owns SpaceX, which is the company that transports things into space for NASA, but also for private companies like satellites and such. He helped found PayPal and eBay. He's working on Neuralink, which is like a thing that's eventually going to be a computer brain link. So, you know, he's done a bunch of cool shit. Like, that summary is like not doing him a service. It's like a very rough summary. I mean, like, SpaceX means that NASA doesn't need to produce its own space shuttles to shoot shit into space anymore. Like, it's a huge deal that like Musk was able to you know, create a company that can get payloads into space. And like, it took a while. And I have a buddy who said, like, well, all he did was just hire the best talent he could, spent a bunch of money on engineers. It's like, I don't care. I don't give a shit. Whatever. That's like, fine. I mean, who cares? I don't care. That's what I would do. That's exactly what I would do. I don't know shit about rocketry. Why would I even need to know? If I know I want to get stuff into space, I just hire people to fucking do it, and I yell at them until they do it. And when they tell me they can't do it, I tell them they can. Etc. You know? I mean, but Musk is definitely, like, way smarter than that. I mean, he is, like, I mean, he knows science and engineering and stuff. So I don't need him to engineer the rockets himself for me to find the achievement impressive. Even if he just put up the money and screamed at people, I would find it impressive that we now have SpaceX. But like, so Musk has done a bunch of different shit. And he also bought Twitter, which is now X, which is, as everybody points out, formerly known as Twitter. So Musk has done a bunch of interesting shit, and not just interesting, worthwhile. Like, Tesla alone has done more than most things to lessen the emissions of gas-powered cars in the U.S. because it's created electric cars, so not just in the U.S., but all around the world. So, I mean, you know, the things Musk does are not just lucrative, they're useful in large part. And I like that. I like that. Like, his business career is good. I mean, like, I've literally skipped over a bunch of shit he did that's useful. Like, he was an original investor in OpenAI, which is the company that brought us ChatGPT. Also a useful investment. So he gets a little credit for that because it was his $100 million, among others. I mean, he put up $100 million. So, you know, when you do that and something happens, you get the credit or the obloquy if it fails. So, you know, but lately Musk has been in the news for other things than his businesses. Like, for example, telling, you know, his advertisers at an event run by the New York Times that they couldn't blackmail with him. I hate when I misspeak. Telling his advertisers at an event run by the New York Times that they can't blackmail him with money. And then he told them, fuck you. And then when nobody laughed, he said it again. And like, okay, first of all, I'm pretty sure they can blackmail him with money. I'm pretty sure, like, that's the advertising model. And, you know, if he wants to tell him, fuck you, like, I don't care. I just literally don't care. Whatever. Talk like that if you want. But, you know, Musk's been in trouble for other things, too. Like, you know, I forgot. I should have read his Twitter feed before I started this podcast. I forgot. I'm unprofessional. But the point is, like, Musk has retweeted, like, because I haven't read them, I don't know if they're racist, but we'll just, for ease, we're going to say they're, and I really hate this word, but we're going to say they're problematic things. He's tweeted and, like, retweeted anti-Semitic or, like, racist or, like, sort of racist shit or, like, stuff that's, like in the racist wheelhouse of, like, it might not be racist, but it's, like, nodding at racist iconography or whatever, like, you know, he's just, like, he's in that area of, like, he's tweeting things and saying things that are kind of fucked up. I have no specific examples. But, like, the reason he told his advertisers to fuck off is because he retweeted a tweet that said something about, like, oh, all the Jews are, like, mad now that people are yelling at them, but, like, they've been promoting the entry of non-white people into the United States who don't like Jews, so, like, this is chickens coming home to roost, or something like that. I don't think it's exactly like that, but it was something like that. And, like, the advertisers ran away, which is what advertisers do. So, the point is, like, I'm willing to believe, even though I've never seen it, that Musk has tweeted things that are bad. And, like, bad by my own standards, too, like, that I would think are racist or on the line or, like, you know, just not helpful or whatever. Like, I think he's probably tweeted anti-vaccine tweets as far as coronavirus goes and stuff like that. And, like, this is the point, this is the other point about this shit. It's like, look, so if you are getting your opinions from Elon Musk about things that are not having to do with, like, how to make an electric car, or how to start a business, or how to run a business, or how to maintain a successful business, you know, you're an idiot, and you shouldn't do that. Like, so, again, like, if Musk says, fuck the Jews, and you're like, well, didn't have a problem with them before, but I do own a Tesla, and Musk is pretty cool, so fuck the Jews, you're a moron, and you shouldn't do that. Like, so, this is the thing. So, you know, when Musk bought Twitter, everybody was mad. A lot of people were mad, and I kind of understand why. You know, it's because Twitter was their little place, and they liked it, and Musk bought it, and they didn't like him, and he did things they didn't like. And they felt like, you know, like somebody bought their clubhouse, and they are still freaking out about it. I think I covered this last episode, but my position on this is tough shit. Musk bought it. If you don't like it, leave. Like, if you don't like what he's doing with it, don't use it anymore. We live in a capitalist country, thank God, where private property still means something. The guy, you know, did a characteristic thing where he said that he would buy it. And, like, because of the rules that govern stocks, like, you can't pump up a stock price by saying you're going to buy something and then not buy it, because that's market manipulation. You know, you could pump and dump based on what you're saying, making the stock price go up, which is what happened. So he bought it. He was legally obligated to buy it too. And he did. And then, like, but because he owns it, he can do what he wants with it, you know, and he has. He's changed its name to X. He's changed its, like, moderation guidelines. So, like, you know, I guess, like, you know, for example, like, Kanye West got to be back on Twitter before he fucking went off on the Jews again and was banned again. I'm sorry, X, formerly known as Twitter. You know, so the point is that, like, Musk owns it now. He can do what he wants with it. You don't like it, don't use it. But the other point is, that, like, you shouldn't be listening to the things Elon Musk is saying anyway. And, like, you know, the fact that it's Elon Musk saying them, like, when they're outside of his area of expertise, you know, shouldn't make you any more prone to listen to those opinions as anyone else's. Like, if you're a person who likes me and I say something, you shouldn't agree with it just because I say it. If you think you might agree with it, you should go do research totally independent of everything I'm saying to see if the facts back up the argument I'm making. And then if they do, then you think about whether or not you agree with it. So, I mean, like, you know, I just said a couple minutes ago that Musk has done more to mitigate emissions from fossil fuel-powered cars than most people because he's making electric cars. And I think that's true. So, I mean, I would say that what Musk has done is fought climate change in any way more than you have. But, like, you know, or maybe not fought it more than you have, but done more about it than you have because he owns an electric car company. And maybe that's one of the reasons he owns it. Like, so, but if you don't believe that, or, like, if you're not sure, or even if you do believe that, like, you should probably Google it. You should probably look around yourself. And, like, I see that this thing that people do, which is that, like, they tend to just, like, follow people. It's a weird thing where, like, Kanye says he hates the Jews, and then, like, a bunch of, like, 18-year-old Kanye fans are like, hey, you know, we hate Jews, too. Because that's cause, like, but because Kanye said it, they're, like, into it now. It's part of the reason people get so pissed off when public figures say things. Like, so, I don't want to keep using the Jews. You know, so, I don't know, but I might have to, because now I can't think of another example. Okay, you know, I guess I'll just make a total example up. It's like, the self-help guru and, lady who is trying to primary Joe Biden for president has said that cell phones cause cancer. I don't know if she said that or not. Hopefully not. But let's say she had said that. You know, then a bunch of her fans are like, oh, I'm a Marianne Williamson fan. She says cell phones cause cancer. I believe this now. It's like, what that's called is weak-mindedness. If you're doing that. So, like, you know, if Elon Musk says that the great replacement theory, which is the theory that that non-white immigrants are deliberately being imported into the United States to replace the white population, is true, like, that's crazy, and you shouldn't believe that. Because, especially just because Elon Musk said it, that's not the reason you should believe it. Now, on the other hand, and this is, like, important, we live in a country where free speech is legal, thank God. So you can say what you believe. And, like, you know, free speech is important, most especially when what you're saying is an unpopular opinion. Like, of course I'm going to defend your right to free speech when you're saying a bunch of stuff I agree with. If you're like, yeah, I'm a huge 50 Cent fan too, I'm going to be like, right on, speak it. Thank God we have free speech here. You know, but if you're going to tell me, like, Ice Ice Baby is a great rap song, or that you hate black people and they're inferior, you know, like, those are both opinions I abhor. Obviously, the second one more than the first. But, you know, those are both opinions I abhor. And, like, that's the time when people start to say, like, hey, I don't know about this free speech thing. He just said he hated black people. That, like, you know, but that's when free speech is important, like, about when opinions are controversial and unpopular. That's, like, when it's important that you're allowed to talk, because if you're saying shit everybody agrees with, then it's not that hard to fucking get the right to say it. So, the thing is, but what happens is, so, you know, some public figure says some dumb shit, and by dumb I either mean, like, deeply factually wrong, or racist, or bigoted, or, like, a combination of all those, a conspiracy theory or whatever. You know, and then, like, the national media, the parts of the national media, and, like, the, they used to call it the Twitter sphere, you know, that disagree with the thing the public figure is saying, freak out because, like, not only that the figure is saying it, like, oh my God, did you hear what Kanye said? It's horrible. And by the way, it was fucking horrible. If you can pull up the interviews, like, Kanye is just like an insane crackhead for like 10 hours yelling about the Jews and being crazy. It's the craziest shit. He has like a net and a yoo-hoo because he's talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, Netanyahu, you know? And like, he's like talking to this yoo-hoo and a net. I mean, it's wild. I wish I downloaded them when they were online because they're great. But anyway, like, so people both freak out that Kanye has said a thing, but also freak out because now what Kanye has said is going to influence other people, like the thinking of other people. Like, somehow they're not freaking out at the other people. Like, see, the people, like, okay, if Kanye goes on Alex Jones and, like, Drink Champs, I don't know if it was Drink Champs, but if Kanye goes on, like, you know, podcasts and stuff and starts spouting crazy shit, and a bunch of people are like, yep, I don't like the Jews now either. Or like, you know what, I'm a Nazi too now. Because Kanye said it. Like, those people are weak-minded. They're weak-minded people. And like, you know, they will be picked up by somebody. If it's not Kanye, it's Andrew Tate. And if it's not Andrew Tate, it's Alex Jones. You know, like, but also, you know, in a separate category, if it's not those people, it's Joe Biden or Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Liz Cheney or, you know, Lindsey Graham or whoever. I'm saying, like people who are weak-minded enough to need opinions of other people to, like, form their opinions are just, like, waiting to be picked up. It's like you might as well have a sign that just says, I'm up for grabs. My brain is up for grabs. Like, I had a buddy a couple years ago, The Shadow in the Wind, who said to me, like, I said to him, who'd you vote for? And he said, well, I voted for whoever, because, you know, I'm a follower, and I just voted for who your dad and my dad told me to vote for, which was, like, a funny statement, but he said it. It's like, you know, and, like, I kind of get it, because, like, he knows both those people personally. He knows they're both pretty smart, and, you know, he just saved himself some thinking by doing that with them. But, like, you know, it's not really the way to be. Like, you know, he should have done the legwork himself and just picked who to vote for, even if it was the same people they were voting for. So, like, the thing is, there's a lot of people like that in this world who are like, hey, so-and-so has said this, now I'm just going to believe it. I don't know if the process is always so conscious or not, but, like, look at, like, you know, there are people who believe things specifically because Tucker Carlson has said them. I mean, like, they don't believe those things because they happen to believe things Tucker Carlson has said. They believe those things because he has said them. And that is bad. But it's also bad if they believe things because Don Lemon has said them. Or because, I don't know. I'm trying to think of credible people. Don Lemon is not credible, by the way. Okay, fine. They shouldn't believe things just because Anderson Cooper has said them either. Unless they have, like, done the legwork to like, figure out that they think Anderson Cooper is a credible source. Which, in my opinion, he basically is. So now, like, if Anderson Cooper says something and I see it, I might believe it because he said it, but the reason is because I've been watching the dude for 12 years. I mean, not religiously or anything, I just know who he is. I trust the media organization he works for, CNN. And, like, I watch a lot of media, so I'm vetting claims anyway, and Cooper's claims have generally been good. Like, you know, they come out as right. Like when he says something, it's usually true. And I know that because I read a bunch of news and, like, you know, the 9 corroborating sources I have corroborate that. So the point is, it's okay to trust Kanye if, like, you corroborate the shit he's saying and it's true. Like, if Kanye says, hey, here's how you should make a beat, or, like, here's how you should design a shoe, great. Like, you can both trust that because Kanye is a good shoemaker and beatmaker. Far better beat maker than a rapper, by the way, and because you can independently verify those things, and if they're subjective, like, listen, I do the drums and the beat first instead of the melody, like, well, then you can go, well, Kanye makes beats, he's making a subjective claim, and he's a good beat maker, so I'll believe it. All right, great. But, like, when Kanye says he likes Hitler and likes the Nazis because their fashion sense is good, like, you should not listen to that, because Kanye's insane. And so, like, the problem here, though, is that you get people in the media sphere and in like the Twitter sphere and like, you know, in the public square, so to speak, being like, oh my God, Kanye has said things about Jews. And like, by the way, you know, it's bad that Kanye has come out as a Nazi. Like, that's too bad. I liked Kanye. Well, no, I didn't like Kanye. But Kanye was one of those kind of crazy guys that I kind of liked to watch whenever he came up. You know, just kind of going nuts and like doing his thing. Making good music, making shoes, you know, great. You know, kind of, and he's an asshole, but like, you know, plenty of assholes in the world, so whatever. He had a niche, and he filled it pretty well. Like, great. The thing is, like, that all of a sudden, like, Kanye has come out with opinions that are not mainstream opinions. They're bad opinions. They're bigoted, you know. And now people freak out. Like, oh my God, like, fuck. Is what everybody's doing. And it's like, you know, on the one hand, I understand why. It's like, he's saying stuff that's bad. He's saying, like, the Jews. Like, you know, he's basically like, I can't, it's been a while. And I didn't get to watch the interviews because I watched little clips of them. And then they were immediately taken down, which I didn't think was going to happen. I forgot that happened. I would have grabbed them because they were actually great. I mean, I would watch them right now. It's like he's so nuts, it's uncomfortable. Like, it's so uncomfortable to watch, but it's hilarious, too. So, I would have watched them, but like I can't really give you opinions chapter and verse of Kanye's anymore because it was a year ago when he had his meltdown. But like, you know, it's safe to say it was bad, and not only bad but worse than that. Like, it was like, if when I say Kanye came out as a Nazi and made a bunch of anti-Semitic comments and had crazy homeless crackhead vibes, like it's way worse than that. Like, I'm gilding the lily a lot. Like, if you watched the interviews, and like for what I'm, it's Kanye on Alex Jones in like early December of 2022. If you can find it, you gotta watch it. It's great. I mean, you should watch it. It's horrifying. It's like watching a car crash, but with a person. So, they're horrible views. Like, I'm doing the op. I'm condemning them. I'm not endorsing them. I'm condemning them. But like, the thing is, like, part of the reason people freaked out was, like, they were like, well, now people are going to see these views and believe them. And it's like, listen, that's not Kanye's problem or his fault or, like, it doesn't really have anything to do with them. It's like, Kanye is a public figure. And, like, just as I have a podcast, like, Kanye has the same ability to speak in public that I have. Except that Kanye is wicked famous, so he has reach, so it means people are going to hear it, you know. And like, what then happens is like his opinion's disseminated. But the thing is, like, nobody has to then run with it. Nobody has to listen to it or believe it just because he said it. And like, the people who are going to do that are weak-minded people. And so the problem here is not Kanye. The problem here is weak-mindedness among people. Like, the thing is, like, you know, there are anti-Semites in this world, and, people who are, anti-black racists, and anti-white racists, and anti-Asian racists, and, like, anti-Hispanic racists, and anti-Arab racists, and, people who are, who hate Muslims in the same way some people hate Jews, and there are people who hate Christians, and there are people who hate atheists, and Taoists, and all sorts of things. I mean, like, there are more hateful ideologies than you can count. And, like, if we're specifically talking about the United States, then things like anti-Semitism and anti-black racism are, I don't want to say they're prominent, but they are around. Like, you know, there are people who hate black people in this country and people who hate Jews in this country and stuff, famous and not. Now, like, again, though, we have free speech here. And, like, so if you have some shitty view, or any view, you have the right to express it, both in private and in public. So, you know, Kanye has the right to go on Alex Jones and yell about the Jews, if that's what he wants to do. In the same way, Alex Jones has the right to yell about lizard people and shit. And he has. Now, like, the thing is, the other thing is, like, that I didn't mean to get into the anti-Semite thing specifically, but I think I have to address it now. Like, the thing is, some portion of the population of this country hates the Jews. Like, it's people from all races and all walks of life and for multiple different reasons, because there's been so much anti-Jewish propaganda for such a long time. There are, like, many reasons, all of them false as far as I can tell, to hate the Jews. You know, so the issue is what we want are fewer people. What we want is to get rid of anti-Semitism. That's the goal. But, like, you know, the thing is, like, you can't do that by just silencing all the people who say it in public. First of all, because it's illegal in this country, and we shouldn't do that. Like, freedom of speech is way more important. I hate to copy an Elon Musk line, but I'm a free speech absolutist, except I'm not like a man-child like he is, so I actually mean it. Second, you know, even if you could silence those people, like, I mean, by silence them, I mean take them off of, like, the mainstream part of the internet, you know, they're still going to be all over the non-mainstream part of the internet. They're still going to be at, like, Stormfront, which is a forum for, like, racists. It's, like, the big racist forum. They're still going to be, like, on the neo-Nazi websites. They're still going to be on 4chan, you know, yelling about how they hate the Jews and Jewish conspiracies and the Protocols of Zion and all that shit. So, like, if you silence them, another thing you're going to do is make them go underground, and now it's harder to track them. And, like, now it's, like, unclear who thinks what, because all the Jews haters are underground now. And then, like, you know, they're going to come out when they blow a synagogue up. You know, the other thing is, like, the thing that defeats bad ideas is good ideas. It's why, you know, women can vote, and we are living in a far less racist country than we used to live in. It's because, misogyny isn't the word I want. Sexism is the word I want. Sexism and racism have basically been proven wrong in many parts of the world. It's why society has changed so drastically, because good ideas outproved bad ideas. Like, they disproved them over time. And that, like, that's a virtue of free speech, because there was a point when saying, I think black people should be able to be doctors and lawyers, not to mention Southern senators, was a thing that would get you lynched. I mean, you know, the free speech used to defend the unpopular opinion used to be that one. And the reason people could say it was because they had free speech here. I mean, it's the reason they could print it in the newspaper, too. And that's the same legal reason Elon Musk can post all his crazy shit on X about whatever the fuck he's talking about. So, like, the thing is, you know, it's natural that, like, when you see Kanye come out as a Nazi, or, like, when you see Elon Musk express, like, distasteful or bigoted views, that you are appalled if you disagree with those views, or at least irritated or, like, disturbed or whichever word you prefer. I mean, like, Kanye, like, what Kanye said was disgusting to me. I was disgusted. I mean, disgusted both because he was basically coming out as a Nazi, which he basically did, but also disgusted because, like, he was factually ignorant about what he was talking about. I mean, this is a black dude talking about how Hitler's Germany was great. I mean, I checked. They sterilized black dudes in Hitler's Germany. Like, so, you know, it wasn't a fucking picnic for black people over there. It wasn't like they would have welcomed Kanye. They would have fucking, they didn't put black people in camps. I mean, I went on a whole crazy rabbit hole check when Kanye came out as a Nazi. But, like, they did sterilize you. And, like, you were not a popular person in Germany, specifically because you were black. You were seen as, like, one of the sub-races, like the Japanese or whatever. Like, you know, you were a mud person by their ideology. You know. So, like, you know, the Kanye hates the Jews, but, like, the Nazis hated Kanye, too. So, anyway, like, disgusting on a number of different levels. But the thing is, like, I think Kanye has the right to say that, and he has the right to say it in public. If a podcast or a TV show, I was trying to think of the word for a video that's, like, a podcast, but there's video, I guess it's just podcast. So, like, you know, if a platform is willing to have Kanye on it, I mean both, like, a platform like YouTube, but also, like, a host on that platform, like me, I would never have Kanye on shit. But, I mean, specifically because he's a Nazi. Oh, fuck it, maybe I would, I don't know. Anyway, you know, if a person is able to have a public platform, and they're saying stuff that you don't like, you know, the way to fix that is by making sure there are people on those same platforms or competing platforms saying things you do like. I am glad I don't hear Kanye all the time right now. Like, people ran away from him pretty fast, you know, but that's because he was saying shit that they disagreed with. Like, I told you it was way worse than I indicated. Like, and I mean, Kanye was saying, like, I like Hitler, you know, and meaning it. And, like, going on about it. So, you know, not a lot of space there for his views. But now, like, when people are worried that people who like Kanye are going to now like Hitler, too, like, they are misplaced to worry primarily about Kanye. They should really be worried about the people who are so fucked up, which is a broad term in this specific case, that they are going to be like, oh, Kanye said that, I believe it. Like, and, like, the reason it matters, you know, is because we live in a democracy, and, like, people have a bunch of dumb opinions. I mean, like, you know, like, people are uninformed, and people are wrong, and, like, people get to vote. Like, you can vote while being wrong and uninformed in large amounts. You could believe that drinking ice water causes cancer, you know, because it fucking mutates the cells in your throat from the cold. And, like, then you can go vote because Donald Trump says that's true, you know, or something. And you're wrong. Like, it's just not bearing on what's happening. Like, you could believe that Bill Clinton started the Iraq War, as in actually invaded Iraq, and then you don't vote for Hillary Clinton because you think her husband started a war that George Bush actually started. Or you can hate the Jews. So, like, what I'm saying is, you know, there are horribly ill-informed ideas that people vote on and people act on in this country. And so, like, people are ill-informed and do things and move. And, like, we're a democracy, so our uninformed people matter. This isn't communist China, where we can tell people to shut the fuck up or we'll shoot them to death. Or Iran or something, or Iraq, you know. This is a democracy, so, like, it's useful to have an informed citizenry, because an uninformed citizenry is stupid. I knew a guy once from Liberia who said, we were talking about politics, and he said, well, our elections are a lot like your elections, except that only 35% of the country can read, which is a pretty good summing up of why that's fucked up, because they're like, oh my God, don't vote for that person, they're a witch, which is true. So anyway, the point is, if you're, like, disturbed about Kanye or Elon, like, what you should really be disturbed about are the people who are receiving these things in a receptive fashion. They're ill-informed. And, like, you know, you can either fucking get them some better role models, like, to blow the smoke you want up their ass, or you can make some attempt to inform them, so that they are less susceptible to shit like Elon Musk is yelling at Kanye. And the thing is, like, look, my problem is that, like, I have the right to say anything I want, almost. I can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater, and I can't call, say, for the specific killing of a specific individual or violence to be done, but, like, free speech covers an awful lot, and, you know, the public square these days is accessible, even to blind people or disabled people, you know, but also to people who 20, 25 years ago did not have a voice in it because they're just normal people like you and me. And, like, there was no internet like this, so they couldn't talk, and now we can. But that means, like, you know, celebrities can too. Everybody can. So if Kanye wants to fucking tell us that the Nazis had a great fashion sense, which is a thing he said, by the way, and arguably true, you know, then he can. And, like, there's nothing worse about that than me saying it, as far as, like, the principle itself. Like, look, you know, everybody has the right to both have and to both be able to express their opinion in public, too, in this country, anyway. And, like, it irritates me because people make such a to-do about it when people have bad opinions in public. Or opinions I think are bad, or we think are bad, or you think are bad, in public, there's a huge to-do made, where it's like, oh, he can't say that, he shouldn't say that, the damage being done, and it's like, listen, like, and, like, I'm not pleased at what Kanye's saying, it's bad, but the thing is, it's like, it's also dodging the issue, because, like, the damage being done is that there are a bunch of people in this country and in other places who are so, lacking like knowledge and direction and context that they are vulnerable to this stuff. Like, and they've made themselves vulnerable, and we've made them vulnerable too, and that's the real problem. So it's like, and the other thing is that Kanye represents a pattern of thought that's already out there. Like, he's a guy who happens to be famous, and he says some shit, but that represents the views of non-famous people as well. Now, like, I'm gonna pivot, so I don't want to link these two people. Like, one is not like the other at all. But, like, Joe Rogan has a pretty, he's a cool guy. I mean that as far as his personality goes. Now, like, Rogan has a bunch of sort of, like, conspiratorial views that ebb and flow. Like, he's sometimes more and sometimes less conspiratorial. Like, in the past, he's believed things that, like, there was a second shooter with JFK, and, like, that, like, the COVID vaccine is, I don't know if he believes it's bullshit, but, like, he believed you could take ivermectin, which is a dewormer, that, whatever, because, like, it was efficacious in some studies that, like, against COVID instead of the vaccine, or, like, you know, he's believed in, like, I don't know, this and that, just kind of, like, you know, maybe he used to believe, as a representative example, that 9/11 was an inside job or partially an inside job. He believes stuff like that. He's wired, like, to believe in conspiracy theories. And, like, as his podcast has gotten bigger and he's spoken to more people, he believes in fewer of them now. But, like, still inclined that way. But, like, so people get pissed and they're like, Joe Rogan, such and such and so and so. And it's like, okay. Again, first of all, to make the original point that I'm making, Joe Rogan represents, let's say, I don't know what the exact word I want. Joe Rogan represents a group of people who believe similar things, and, like, he is the most famous member of that group, but there are, like, 1 million, 2 or 3 million, who knows how many, other people who believe the same and very similar things. So when Joe Rogan fucking pops off of the mouth with some shit you think is stupid, like, even people who didn't hear him, like, if nobody heard that except for you, there's still millions of people in this country and around the world who believe that. So first of all, that's one thing. And second of all, like, if Joe Rogan says something and a bunch of people believe him, the problem is those people. It's not Joe Rogan. It's like, even Joe Rogan happens to say all the time, don't believe me, I'm a moron, and people will still believe him because they're even stupider than he is. And like, so the problem we need to address are those people. We need to fix them. And like, or, you know, you can be like, I don't want them voting, and you can fucking start thinking about that. But that's crazier. We're a democracy. Like, dealing with stupid people who vote is part of that thing. It's like, when I say a mob, I mean literally the mob of people. It's just everybody here who can vote. It's like, you know, so mob mentalities and, like, populism and ignorance and lack of education and, like, short-term thinking and, like, self-interest, like, are all things we have to contend with when we have a democracy. Like, they say it's the worst form of government except for all the other ones we've tried. And so, like, I get annoyed when people sort of, like, get all caught up on the guy who's famous saying something, or the girl, and, like, ignore the fact that, there's just normal people who believe that thing. It's, like, one of the reasons they're saying it. Now, at the same time, it's clear, like, that public figures with platforms can do damage. Like, you know, Tucker Carlson, for example, or Donald Trump have done immense damage because they say things that are lies. And then people believe those lies. But, like, first of all, you know, both those guys have the right to say the stupid shit they're saying. Depending on how a platform is set up, as an example, Tucker Carlson now just streams his show from X since he's been canceled from Fox. And it's like, look, depending on how a platform is set up, like, you get to use it like that. Like, I can't say the N-word on YouTube because they'll demonetize my video. Or maybe remove it, I don't know, because I don't plan to fucking say it, so I don't really care. But, like, they will demonetize it for sure. So, that's the rules of the platform. On Fox News, they let Tucker Carlson kind of, like, spin his conspiracy theories and lie and do whatever the fuck. And then people would go, look what damage Tucker Carlson is doing. But first of all, it's like, look, my pet theory is that a lot of people who watch Tucker Carlson, you know, watch him because they agree with him. Like, they agreed with him before he even started talking. And, like, whether or not Carlson is lying is a thing they don't care about. Like, they know he's, a lot of them know he's lying. Anyway, it's like, you know, people like being told things they believe. Like, you know, when you go watch, if anyone doesn't know, there used to be a lady on MSNBC named Rachel Maddow, who was like a pretty left-leaning Democrat, like a pretty liberal person, like, you know, hippie. I mean, just to use shorthand, like all the liberal causes she believed that and then some. And she would have an hour on prime time where she gave a fact-based but very liberal screed every night. You know, and the thing is, like, people, like, know that. Like, people who watch media, you know that Maddow is a liberal person. And, like, so the people who would go watch MSNBC were going because they didn't want arguments, they didn't want discussion, they wanted, like, an affirmational thing. You know, it's like going to church. You don't go to church to hear a fucking atheist pop up and be like, God doesn't exist, motherfucker. Look at the Big Bang on the internet. That's what happened. You know, that's not why you're in church. You're in church to fucking hear a sermon. You're in church to hear Christian preaching. And, like, that's what a lot of this shit is. And, like, that's why I think people watch Tucker Carlson. It's like, a lot of them know he's lying and don't care. They want to hear the fucking thing they believe. They want their tribalistic shit affirmed, and so they listen to Tucker. Now, like, if this was an authoritarian state, we could just shoot that guy in the head, and we wouldn't have to deal with him anymore. And if we were a nonviolent authoritarian state, or a less violent one, we could take him off the air and put him in jail, and tell Elon Musk, who runs X, that if he put Tucker Carlson back on X, or anybody like him, we'd put him in jail or shoot him too. So that's how they play it over there, but we're here, so it's different. So, like, now, the reason I brought up Elon Musk is because, like, look, you know, I think Elon Musk is a pretty amazing dude. Like, the businesses that he founded are useful and important, and they're doing good work. Like, if Neuralink ends up working, it'll be great. Very useful. Tesla is useful. I'm blanking on. Oh, SpaceX, super useful. The fact that he bought X, probably a bad thing for the service. But, you know, he had the money, and he bought it. Tough shit. You don't like it? Don't use it anymore. Not that complicated. Now, you know, I mean, like, go make a different social network, go promote a different social network. You know, like, there's lots of things you could do if you don't like that Musk has X. But certainly, you know, as a first step, not engaging with the platform anymore is a good one. Now, like, at the exact same time that Elon Musk has done useful things, you know, he has also done bad things, because he said some opinions and retweeted some things that are, again, I hate the word, but problematic. I forgot to read the Twitter feed. I forgot to read Elon's Twitter feed, because I would have cited some specific examples, like word for word, and I feel like that should have been done. Just to give you an idea of what I mean when I say that he has done some stuff that is not good. Like, so we could both have a better idea of what it was. Because, like, see, the thing about this is, I don't give a shit what Elon Musk has to say, and so I have no idea what he's saying. I don't know what he's talking about, because I don't care. Because I don't want to make an electric car, I am not right now starting a business, and so I don't care what Elon Musk is saying. Like, I don't follow him on X, I don't ever go look his Twitter feed up or whatever it is, I don't go look at interviews up, I don't care, I really just cannot express to you how little I care what the fuck he's saying. And so I don't know what he's saying. And, like, that's the other thing. It's like, you also don't need to look at what this dude is saying. If you don't want, like, you don't need to pay any attention to it. Like, and that goes for both the people wringing their hands over the shit he's saying and the people who are following him and paying attention to it. It's like, yo, you can come up with your own opinion on the Jews or upon on whatever. I mean, you know. So I think we have to go, okay, Elon Musk is a useful guy who's doing useful things, and he's talking a bunch of nonsense. And the nonsense has the potential to be harmful when it gets into the heads of weak-minded or ignorant people. But that speaks far more to our weak-minded and our ignorant than it does to Elon Musk. I don't want to penalize him for saying something just because he has reach. It's not fair. It doesn't make any sense either. It's like, look, you know, you shouldn't be penalized for being famous. It's like if Taylor Swift has an opinion that we should all save cats, she gets to say that, you know. And that's good. We should save cats, by the way. It's a good thing. Taylor Swift seems like a cool chick, by the way. Don't know too much about her. But anyway, you know, so I think too often we get condemny or, like, too laudatory. So, like, you know, my thing with Elon Musk is, like, hey, ignore the shit he's talking and recognize he's a good businessman doing good business shit, and there you go. That's my attitude on it. And I think, like, we should do that more. It's also like he's telling his advertisers to fuck off, so that's kind of interesting. Because, like, that might be a train wreck. And, like, hey, by the way, like, the other reason I don't care is because they might fuck off. Like, you know, it's funny, his quote was like, they can't blackmail me with money, fuck them. And, like, they kind of can blackmail with him with money. That's kind of the point of paying for the advertising on X. Like, you know, it's a business whose ad revenues come from, sorry, whose revenues come from ads. So they can blackmail him with money. If they all leave, X, oh my goodness. I'm sorry, I'm very unprofessional. I had to yawn, though. If all the advertisers leave, X fails. So they absolutely can blackmail him with money. You know, so I think I'm done with Elon. I hope I made the point that I wanted to about him. I mean, I thought about it hours before. I should have taken a note or two to remind myself exactly how to say what I wanted to say. But I think it's covered. And like that point applies to everybody, not just Elon Musk or anything, by any means. It applies to every public figure and also every private figure. Like, you know, you need to be careful to not let other people formulate your opinions for you. Now, like, in the case of 50 Cent, like, I just started reading his newer book. It's called, what the hell is it called? It's called something. It's called, Hustle Smarter, Hustle Harder, right. And, like, I'm reading the book because the guy's made a bunch of money. He came out of, like, a tough hood and rapped very well and always seemed to carry himself well in the environments he was in, so I'm seeing if there's any insight in what I'm reading. And so, like, the first thing, I'm, like, literally on the first chapter. I just started reading it, and then I was like, fuck it, I'm being lazy and putting off my podcast, so I'll do the podcast. But, like, you know, in the first chapter, he's starting to talk about, like, how you should treat fear. Like, be uncomfortable with fear. Like, you shouldn't keep it in your life. Like, you know, you're going to have fear, but, like, something. I haven't gotten through it yet. Now, the thing is, like, it's if I find that to be useful, if I think it's a useful concept, I'm going to, like, vet it with myself. I'm going to think about it. If there's a Googleable aspect to it, I'll Google it, you know. But, like, and I like 50 Cent. I don't mean, like, in a weird way. Like, I would never put, like, a poster of him on my wall or something. But, like, the dude has done shit I admire. I like 50 Cent in the same way I like, in the same way I like my best friend who has joined a big company and done well there. Like, I admire the career path. And as far as I can tell, the ethics. Like, but I don't know 50's ethics so well. So I'm saying, like, I admire his conduct as far as I know it and his demeanor and his way he makes it through the world. But just like with my buddy who started a company, and I admire his career trajectory, I'm not just taking his opinion like it's gospel. In the same way, I'm not doing that with 50 Cent. And so, like, you know, that's how it is with that shit. Like, I'm reading the book to see what this guy thinks, and then I'll think about it all, and, like, I'll take the parts I like and dump the parts I don't. And, you know, that's how it goes. Now I think I'm rambling a little bit, you know. Doing these monologues is hard. I find it really hard to monologue, and I'm not good at it. I never studied how to do it. I'm a great conversationalist. I've definitely done that a lot. I'm great at that. But monologuing is not the same thing. And I have no training in skills that would be useful to it, like preaching. Never really studied that. Never studied how to do it. So this is difficult. I worry that I ramble. I know I ramble. I worry that I'm not making points in the order I should, and connecting them as well as I should, and all that stuff. But listen, this is the fucking cross I bear, starting a podcast with no guests. But pretty soon I plan to have guests. This is the third episode. Hopefully by episode 5 or 6, some guests will be a regular feature of the show. And not just a regular feature. I plan that most episodes will have a guest. It's just that I couldn't start the podcast like that because had I no guest that day, I wouldn't do it. And I'm a lazy fuck, and I needed to get into the zone of it, and so I couldn't rely on guests, and so there have been none. But guests will make it a lot easier, and I think it'll make it a better show as well. So soon there shall be guests. Don't know exactly when, but soon enough. Let's see. Did I have other points to make? I'm trying to remember. Okay. Let me just look at my notes. Let's see. No, I'm not looking at... Nope. I'm not doing this. It's too much dead air. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so, but I did have ChatGPT, a thing I like quite a bit, generate a couple questions for me. And one of them I think is good here. It's, how do you differentiate between admiring somebody's achievements and blindly following their opinion? Well, I mean, I resent the use of blindly. That's ableist. I'm kidding. Fuck that. I don't mean that at all. But the answer is, their achievements are their achievements, and their opinion is their opinion. And their achievements have very little to do with their opinion unless directly related to it. I will listen to a sniper about how to snipe people. If they have an opinion on what gun to buy, I'm going to privilege that opinion because it's directly related to their achievements. But when somebody's opinion is not directly related to their achievements, I don't give a fuck. By which I mean I'll evaluate it just like anybody else's opinion. I would definitely listen to Joe Biden's opinion on how to be a good president. I mean, actionable tips, but not about how to be a king, because he's not one. Or, if Joe Biden has an opinion on flip-flops, I don't really care. What the next question ChatGPT gave me is, what's your take on the responsibility of public figures like Elon Musk to shape the public discourse? Well, I mean, that responsibility is there if you want to pick it up. But also, it depends on the public figure. Some public figures are assholes. I mean, some public figures are just doing their own thing in public. They just happen to be in public. They're not interested in shaping any discourse. They just speak, and they're involved in it. And, it's kind of like, if you look at a public figure and you see that they care and they're trying to use their responsibility or their powers for good, as in they're being careful because they're in public and they know they're a public figure, then great. I mean, I think they have a responsibility to do that. But at the same time, if you see somebody and they clearly give no fucks, it's kind of like a useless question at that point, because they're just not playing that same game. So, I think Elon actually, sometimes does, and this is why it gets complicated. Elon Musk is definitely warning all the time about the dangers of artificial intelligence. It's part of the reason he put the money up for OpenAI. I don't mean all the money, I mean some of it. That's him being responsible, and then telling people that, whatever the fuck he says that's racist is irresponsible. Or it is responsible, and he's racist, and he's an asshole. So it's complicated. But, if the public figure is ethical, of course they have a responsibility to help shape the public discourse in a good way, but that's like a crapshoot. Because celebrity does not come with, like, any moral sense. Celebrity just happens to people, and how they use it, and like, okay, I'm saying, like, if you're a douchebag and then you become famous, you're still going to be a douchebag. You're just now a douchebag in public. Let's see. Have you ever changed your opinion on an issue due to a celebrity's influence? How did that turn out? Oh, let's see. I don't know. I'm not sure, because, like, maybe a celebrity has made me aware of something I wasn't aware of before. I'm trying to remember. That could have happened. You know, okay. I guess I did. I love rap, and I used to rap. I still write, but I haven't recorded in a while, so I'm not comfortable saying I'm still rapping, but I would. I might. Anyway, I hate ghostwriters. Like, I hate every rapper who uses one, except for Dr. Dre. I think Dr. Dre gets a pass, because I just decided I don't care. And, like, I guess, you know, I found out that, like, he didn't write most of his songs. Like, Jay-Z wrote, Still Dre, or Still D-R-E, and Eminem wrote Forgot About Dre, and wrote, I Need a Doctor, and, like, a bunch of people wrote a bunch of shit for Dre. And he raps it so well, and is an amazing production artist, and, like, is a absolute musical talent, and can also rap well, and embodies those lyrics very well. I give him a pass. So I suppose my opinion was influenced in the sense that celebrities gave me facts, as in, like, they wrote those songs, they say it in public, and those facts changed my opinion. But I don't know if a celebrity having an opinion, I can't think of a celebrity who is, a celebrity who had an opinion, and because they had that opinion, I changed my opinion. I kind of abhor that. That's stupid. That's never how that should be. So I try pretty hard not to do that. I mean, like, I am tickled when I find a celebrity who agrees with me, but I don't know. No, so I don't think so. I think the answer is no, as far as I know, except for the Dr. Dre thing. But I'm not sure if that counts. What advice would you give to somebody who finds themselves overly influenced by public figures? Stop doing that. Okay. In all seriousness, I mean, if you think that you're overly influenced by public figures, stop fucking listening to them. Stop going to the places where they are. It's like, if you're following them on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, or Meta, unfollow them. Like, if you sit there reading Taylor Swift's Twitter every day and you think that's a bad influence on you, or you're over-influenced by it, stop doing it. It's really not that complicated. Like, remember how I said to you, I have no idea what Elon Musk says? It's because I don't give a fuck, and therefore I don't look. So it's doable not to look. It's like, if you don't want to see what celebrities are saying on the internet, then don't fucking do it. Don't look at them. Just stop looking at them. You don't even need to, like, be in the whole area. Like, you don't even need to be on social media if you're too influenced by what it's doing to you. Like, I mean, I got jealous of my friend circles on Facebook and just stopped. I didn't want to see it. I don't want to fucking know about your fucking house. I rent a room. So, you know, I stopped. And you can do it too. It's like, you don't have to do that. It's like, you know, social media is a tool and you can use it the way you want to. Like, you can use it productively or badly. And, like, if you're using it badly, you may want to consider stop doing that. Like, to stop. Like, that's my advice. Don't do it. Not that complicated. Let's see what else this thing has generated. How do you maintain a balance by being inspired by somebody and keeping your critical thinking intact? I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive at all. Because, like I said, like, okay, like, one of my favorite rappers is Eminem. But, like, when he's not rapping, I don't really care what he's doing. So, like, it just doesn't seem to signify. I just don't, like, I mean, the key is, like, well, I don't think it's a balance. I mean, first of all, it's like, okay, like, well, okay, oh, sorry, the question said inspired. Okay, so, like, achievements inspire, and, like, how a person carries themselves can be inspiring, and how they handle themselves in given events can be inspiring. But, like, you're not them, you're you. So you're in different situations, have different opinions, are in different events, And like, even if you gain insight from them, you're applying it to your own life. It's not their life. So it just really shouldn't come up that well. I mean, the key is like to know yourself and to like ask yourself a lot of questions and to just like, you know, vet your own opinions and then re-vet them and like think about shit a lot and like know yourself pretty well and be clear on who you are. And if you're not clear on who you are, then you should probably like avoid strong influences until you are. So this is coming back. In what ways do you think affirmational thinking can be misused? Like, well, it can get kind of culty, you know. And I guess it can give you a false sense of what's going to happen. Like, you know, if Jim Carrey had put that $1 million check on his wall, and then, you know, he hadn't made any money, then, like, he would have felt sad because he was looking at a check and he'd convinced himself he was going to make a bunch of money. And then he hadn't. So, like, this is, like, my objection to affirmational thinking from the beginning. When I didn't like it, when I said I never used it and thought it was bullshit, is, like, it's too easy to psych yourself up. So, like, look, you know how there are some people who walk around and go, like, my life sucks, everything is negative, la, 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 all this is negative. I had my buddy Ernest, rest in peace, used to be like, yo, Jay, you so negative, you so depressed, you don't even know you're depressed. Everything that come out of your mouth is a negative comment. And I'd be like, that's not true, I'm just realistic. But, like, it was true. I would be fucking negative. Everything wasn't going to work, you know, like, worst-case scenario all the time. Like, and it wasn't like the things I was saying were wrong. They were likely because, you know, the world can suck. But I was always taking the negative side. So it'd be like, hey, you want to go out to the bar? And I'd be like, nah, it won't be any fun, you know, instead of just being like, sure. So in the same way that, like, being an overly negative thinker can and does like make you a more negative person and influences you badly and gives you an unrealistic view of the world, being an overly positive figure can do that too. It's like, you know, you're like, I'm gonna work out no matter what, so now like you're running on broken ankles and then they have to amputate your foot, and that's no good, you know. Like, so it's a balance. It's like back when I rapped, I believed I was good at it, and I believed maybe I could get famous if somebody heard it. I didn't think that was likely, but I had to kind of believe that I was good at it, or I wouldn't have done it. If I was like, hey, I'm a bad rapper and untalented, and there's no way any of these records are ever blow. Sorry. I'm a bad rapper, I'm untalented, and there's no way any of these records will ever blow. I wouldn't have been rapping, because I would have been like, I suck at this, I'm not doing it. So, like, right now with this podcast, like, there are things about it I don't like. I'm a little hesitant about the monologuing. You know, I worry there's some background noise, you know. I don't know. There are things I don't like. And, like, I also believe that there are 4 million... Everybody and his mother has a podcast. Everybody and her brother has one. It's hard to break through. Like, it would not surprise me if I did this for 6 months and had zero listeners. And, like, you know, it's just the nature of podcasting. I mean, it's the nature of the internet, like, that like, you can have a great thing, and if you don't market it, it might not, like, it's going to just sit there, because not everything that's good goes viral. But, like, I don't say that shit to myself when I go to make a podcast, because I got to get myself psyched up to do it. So I'm like, hey, man, you're going to do a good podcast today, and, like, it's worthwhile that you're doing this podcast, you know? It's a balance. Like, you gotta be, like, realistic and affirmational, too. So, like, look, you know, I genuinely believe that if things went right, and I work really hard, and I'm lucky, and, like, I get good guests, and I keep at it, and I'm consistent, maybe my podcast could blow up. I mean, like, maybe I could be Joe Rogan. Like, probably not, but, like, you know, you gotta, like, look at stuff like that sometimes. I mean, you have to, like, blow smoke up your own ass. You gotta kind of visualize sometimes. Like, because it helps. Because it helps. You know, it's like, it helps because it makes you receptive to things and it makes you do things that you should do if you want to succeed. So, like, this is the other thing. It's like, you know, I think because of how our society is, like, people look for role models sometimes. It's like maybe they're not religious, so they're like walking around looking for role models. And like I was in a conversation with one of my buddies, and he was like saying how he doesn't like how a lot of celebrities just tell people like get on your grind and work hard and all this shit. I love that shit. And he was like, well, it's not really fair because it might not work out for them. And my thing is like, listen, you should work hard. You should bust your fucking ass all the time because you want to be in the right position when luck comes along. And like, even if no luck comes along, it's like, listen, like working hard is better than not working hard because like, you know, because like not working hard isn't going to get you anything and working hard might get you stuff. Like, you know, if you want something to happen and that something takes work, then you got to do the work if you want it to happen. It's like, you know, it's like I've wanted this podcast for years. I knew I was going to call The Blind Spot. I knew what type of show I wanted it to be, and I wasn't doing it. And, like, it certainly wasn't going to happen when I wasn't doing it. It's like, you know, the reason I didn't have a podcast 2 months ago is because I hadn't started it, and I wasn't maintaining it. And, like, you know, if I want this podcast to have any chance of doing well, there are certain things I got to do, like make sure the logo is good, be consistent in making episodes, you know, make sure it's going to all the major distributors, like la la la, whatever these things are, I gotta do them. Like if I want a guest, I gotta make some phone calls to my buddies and my family and get a guest, or like not, if not my buddies, other people, you know, I gotta start trying to book guests is my point, if I want them, otherwise I won't have them. So like that's the thing about working hard, is like, you should, because if you don't, like you're not gonna potentially reap any of the benefits of it. It's like, you know, that's just how it is. And I don't think I made that point exactly right about the hard work, but I have decided that we're going to end the show right around here. So I appreciate that you guys listened, and like I said, I'm glad to do the show. I'm glad I have a podcast, and, you know, hustle smarter, hustle harder, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.